that's more than just some facts. It's more than just getting forgiveness. When we receive Christ, he actually sends his spirit into our life and into our heart, and we are reformed people. But we have these two things now, and they don't get along at all. There's this wrestling match inside of us. And anyway, the next chapter, chapter 8, is all about the good part of us, the new life in Christ and how to live it. But now, to this morning, we're actually stuck with Mr. Hyde. That's Mr. Hyde is this morning. So just remember that we'll get there. Actually, we won't get there for about a year. This is the last sermon in the book of Romans, but we will come back, yes? And so we're warned, actually, that Christians, we can actually waste ourselves, even though we have all the right things, because we have this other thing that is not really us anymore. That thing can take over. And so here's the big idea for us this morning. You're new now. If you're in Christ, you're new now. So fight the worthless old nature till it's finished. You're new now. So fight the worthless old nature till it's finished. Let's start by noting that though we are new creations in Christ, the old nature still seems to affect Paul, still seems to affect us. And so we're in Romans chapter 7, page 1133, actually, no, 1134. We're going to be starting in verse 14. Why don't you pick up your Bibles if you don't have it in front of you, and we're going to follow along and we're going to think deeply about what God has revealed to us. So starting in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin, or having been sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Now, we remember that Paul is talking about the law and how the law is this good thing that sin uses the opportunity for to make a very bad thing, okay? It takes the law and it wields it against us because we're rebels in our heart, okay? And we end up, as we hear God's rules, that something inside of us rises up and says, I will rebel, okay? This is before Christ. The rule comes out and we are all rebels with a cause. And the cause is we will not be told what to do. And so we violate God's law, and God's law isn't necessarily the problem. What's the problem? That thing within us. And this is what Christ has come to put away from our lives. He was crucified so that he could deal with sin on the outside, but then on the inside too, through union with Christ, we learn that we're new creations. But look, we have a surprise here. This is in the present tense. As the whole section, Paul is talking in the first person in the present tense. This is all about Paul. It's all about what's going on now with Paul. And what does he say? He says, I am unspiritual. Well, that's a surprise. I am, actually, the word unspiritual there is fleshy. I am fleshy. Look at verse 18. He's speaking a little bit more about this. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me. That is in my sinful nature. And so, newsflash, we still have a sinful nature. Now, some of you are like, I know that. I know that from experience. Okay, but this is surprising. And so what has happened? We need to explain what has taken place. And I actually have it right behind me. One more. Here's the diagram. Okay, so here we have the old man and the new life. Now, before we met Christ, the Bible says that we are slaves to sin. That doesn't mean we are willing slaves. We were just dragged along, because that's what you do with a slave. You just tell them to do whatever you want them to do, and they do it. We were slaves to sin, and we did what sin wanted, and we were stuck on ourselves, and we couldn't think about anything outside of our set of desires. We're very, very selfish. We had some good desires, actually, but those are on kind of the periphery. You know, like, let's have world peace, you know, I want nice things for people. But that was the periphery. In the core of us, we had Adam's likeness. And Adam's likeness is, I can't trust God, I'll take care of it myself. That was who we were before. And that was getting us nowhere. Well, Christ has come along and he's flipped the script. Okay, the outside has become the inside. You see how that's happened? He's come in, he's forgiven us, he's changed our heart. Now, deep within, if you're a believer in Christ, you've been given a new heart. This is very good news. You've been given a new heart. But guess what? The sin is still around. It's just now on the periphery. The sin has just moved to the outside, quote unquote. It's in the body. And as long as you have a body, you're going to have that sin left over. It's our extra baggage, if you like. Let's suppose that somebody is, quote unquote, unlucky in love, okay? And so they have a lot of relationships, and they're bad, okay? They're bad relationships. And they go through one relationship after another, getting all of this bad behaviors. They come through bad relationships. And then those end, that relationship ends, and in comes a new relationship, a perfect and good and beautiful relationship. But what's the problem? All of the baggage from the previous relationship comes on into the new one. That's what the problem is. And so even though that's a good relationship now, oh dear, we've got to deal with some of these bad ideas. We've got to deal with some of this stuff that was done before. And that's what we have here. We have a new life, but we've got old baggage still. The war has been won by Christ, and yet there are still skirmishes within the country for people who don't even know the war is over. There's still resistance that has to be taken care of inside of us. He says, I have been sold under sin. And that means actually in the past, I was a slave to sin. And now I'm not a slave anymore. And yet there's stuff that happened there that is now influencing my present. It's like, a dog. Let's suppose that there's a dog and it is mistreated by its owner and the dog is kicked by the owner when he gets too close, right? And he becomes a fearful, terrified little pup. And then one day somebody takes that owner and says, you're out of here, and throws him to jail for mistreatment of animals. And the dog goes to a new owner and the new owner is just filled with love. But the dog is still scared. It's going to take time to get rid of that stuff on the outside. Okay, that's what's going on with us. We have two natures now. The sin nature and the nature that God has given us. And they're not friends and they're not frenemies. They're from different worlds entirely. Jesus says this, flesh gives birth to flesh. That's the word here, unspiritual state, flesh. And spirit gives birth to spirit. So the flesh that we have inside of us, this propensity to live for ourselves, it never, ever becomes anything other than what it already is. It never turns into spiritual things. It never says, you know, I've been fleshly all this time, but I think I'll try to do something better. It just continues to do what is bad. It can only do what it can do. It's not spiritual. It's not from above. It will never, ever change. And it doesn't like the spiritual stuff. It hates it. And so they are fighting against one another. And just like Highlander, there can only be one. Then one of these is going to have to die. Which one will it be? You're new now. So fight the worthless flesh till it's finished. Second thing, the flesh is worthless. It betrays us. It doesn't define us anymore. It's something that we instantly regret. And we see this in verse 15. Let's look at verse 15 now, continuing. And this is what it says. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. For I know the good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Okay, now, so this is an epic battle, if you're wondering. There's an epic battle that actually Paul seems to be losing. Remember, this is in the first tense, but we'll come back to that. He's talking about himself and his own, but I think we relate to this, don't we? I mean, what Christian could read this and think, ah, you know what, this isn't me at all. I walk in victory. No, you don't. Everyone has a moment where they're here, aren't they? And thankfully, we don't have to figure out which is everybody's own moment, okay? We're not going to sit and have a confession now. But we all struggle, don't we, with something. We all struggle with many things. Now, we might wrongly think that, like, there's a little angel on one shoulder, and that's the new nature, and there's a little red creature on the other shoulder, and that's the devil, and they're, you know, they're kind of equals, and they're kind of speaking into our ears, trying to get us to do what they want, and you know, the little one on this side just kind of overwhelms us, the bad one. These are not equals at all, okay? God's grace is far more powerful than anything that is going here. What's going on here is it's describing the choice to operate outside of what Jesus has done, to live life on one's own terms, outside of the cross, outside of God's grace, outside of the power of the cross working in our lives, trying to be good on our own. That's what we have. We have a cycle of that, a cycle of not being reliant on Jesus. And I think this is extremely easy to fall into as Christians. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. But hold on, there's an important word there. If anyone is in Christ, if you're not in Christ, if you're not behaving in Christ, well, it's not going so hot. And so some of us actually, we live kind of like what we would say is agnostic Christian. Okay, we claim that we believe in Jesus, and we do. We claim he died for our sins. And then we wake up each day and say, it is all on my shoulders to do everything that I have to do today. We don't think a thought about God. We certainly don't ask him for his help. We don't ask Christ to come and be present in all we do. We don't say, now I'm going to live for you today. We say, I got to get on with things. And at the end of the day, I'm the only one who can save me. I'm the only one. Okay, this is terrible. This is called living in the flesh. Does it work out well for Paul? Does it work out well for us? What does it say here? It's a cycle of frustration. What I want to do, I don't do. I do evil, then I hate it. Then I realize that God was right and that this isn't really me anymore. Okay, that's the full picture of what happens. I do what I don't want to do. Then I go, good grief, I hate this. But it's not really any me anymore. You're right, God. And it's the indwelling sin within me. By the way, we must say, the indwelling sin that is within you. You know, here you might get the idea that, hey, listen, it's not me anymore. It's the indwelling sin. So maybe I can indwell sin a lot, you know? Okay, I don't know how anybody comes to that conclusion, right? That's a parable idea. But what's being said here is that there's a squatter in your life. There's a squatter in your new, beautiful house that Christ has provided, and it's just making a mess, and it's a disaster. And if you go along with it, you end up in regret. And verse 15 and verse 19 is a restatement of the same things over and over. It shows this kind of pattern that's going on that Christians can fall into. And so we all have a battle to fight, a battle that we have already failed at a little bit. And in fact, that Paul has failed at a little bit. And, you know, sometimes people come to me and they say, you don't know how I struggle. You don't know how hard it is. And sometimes we think, gosh, I can't believe how much I struggle. But so-and-so Christian over there, look at them. They just gleam brightly. They don't have any of the issues that I have. They aren't going through anything like lies. Everyone's going through something. Everyone is. We all have it. Paul suffers. We're no better than he. Paul falls prey, we're no better than he. We all do. And so we're all called to what like, for instance, John Owen calls the mortification of sin. That's actually a book that I encourage you to read, The Mortification of Sin. Let me just read a little bit of what he quote. This is one of his famous quotes. We'll not be making progress in holiness without walking over the bellies of our lust. We're called to a battle where we have to say no to what we desire, because it's not good for us. It's living in the flesh, and it leads to regret. We all have it. Now, how is this different from, say, an unbeliever? How is what Paul is going through different from an unbeliever? Quite different, actually, because they are not ashamed of their sin. They're not bothered that they've transgressed God's rules. They think that this is natural. This is natural. There's nothing wrong with it, they say. In other words, the evidence that we believe when we become Christians, the evidence that we believe and that we're not just playing make-believe with ourselves and saying that we really follow Christ, but that we actually do follow Christ, is not that we never sin again. Hopefully we'll sin a bit less. It's that when we sin, We go, oh my goodness, this is a whole miserable affair. I can't believe this. I loathe this stuff. How in the world did I think that this time it was going to work out? That's the difference, that we now aren't okay with sin. It doesn't work out for us. And that within that, we testify that God's law was good and right and true. And then we realize this isn't really me at all. It's that stupid leftover sin inside of me, and I can't believe it's going on. Good grief. And so this is an important caveat, actually. If you're not ashamed of sin, you don't feel any remorse at doing something that you know is wrong. Now, perhaps Christians need to hear that it actually is wrong, and now that you've heard it, you're kind of starting to feel ashamed. But if you just, all in all, you're just not ashamed of your sin, then that's an indication that God's Spirit isn't really speaking to you at all. That you may not know him. You may not know him. But you know what you do if you're in a cycle like this as a Christian, right? If you're in a Christian and you're in a cycle like this and you've got the sin nature, what you do is you say, we got to give this guy the sack. Get out of my house. I don't want you. We need to be vigorous in pushing this stuff out of our lives. Because it's miserable, isn't it? And who wants to be in that? Who wants to be in that spin cycle? You're new now. So fight the flesh till it's finished. Last thing to note, this is a lifelong battle that will not finally be revealed until Christ redeems us. And the way he will redeem us is that we will die first, okay? Verse 21 here, and we'll see how this ends. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. There's a dangerous thing that happens when someone becomes a Christian and they say, now I can be at peace, I can rest, there's no more wars for me to fight. You know, I've got my ticket to heaven, and I'm really thankful for what God did, and I'm not going to even think about this anymore. We're like sitting ducks, right? Because what's the problem? It's because the problem is we live by two sets of opposing rules, okay, two different laws. On the one hand, God has in our inner person, he has put his own heart, the heart of Christ, he has written his laws. Remember, that's Jeremiah 31. I will write my laws on their heart. He has come and he has created a new creation in us that wants to do what is good. And that is all well and beautiful and lovely. And all we really need to do in order to succeed in life is to let ourselves believe and live out what has already taken place through Christ. That's what we need to do. Be who we are. The inner man is just wonderful, but wait a minute. We have another law, another set of rules in our members. What is our members? This is our members. This is our members. If you have a body, you have an old slave to sin in your midst, okay? And it starts saying things too. And one of the things that it says is, actually, I really do still own you. I'm really still in charge. You can't get free from me. And it just creates havoc. And we fall sometimes, and sometimes we succeed and we don't fall. And it's agonizing, okay? We're in agonizing place. And this is the words that Paul says. He says, who will save me from this wretched body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. And so God has paid the price for our sin. He has broken its power in us, and one day he's going to definitively rid us of the presence of sin. And is anybody excited about that? Is anyone excited? There will be a day, guys. Listen, you in this room, if you've had a hard time, if you've sinned and you have beat yourself up and you're whacking your head against a wall saying, I can't believe I went back, there is a day coming where you will have no more sin. And you will be so happy. You will be so joyful. Why? Because God has done it. He's won the war, But there are skirmishes to fight, isn't there? And we will fight them. And so that's the point, is keep on, keep your mind open to the battle that we have before us. You're new now, so fight the flesh till it's finished. So what can we take away from this message? I actually have a lot of applications. I'm sorry that I do. But I think there's something here for everyone. The first thing that I have here is that it is not impossible, it is entirely likely that someone in this room does not have two natures at all. They just have one nature. And the one nature they have is the sin nature. It is a selfish and dependent tendency within them. Love is this self-sacrificial letting go of oneself as we serve and we care for others. But this is, it's all about me. It's all about me. And the if you do not know Christ, that's all you get. That's all you have. And let me just say that that is really sad. And that I feel terrible for you. And that I'm not telling you this to condemn you at all. I'm informing you because you're missing out. You're missing out. Who doesn't want to become a loving and good person? Who doesn't want to be loved to death? Who doesn't want to receive the God who would come and rescue them? Well, I don't want to admit that I'm a sinner. Well, everybody knows it, and you know it, and what's the big deal? Half of you is gone. Time to bring that back. Time to find who you are really meant to be. And so my statement to you is, you know, if you are that selfish person and you only have that selfishness in your heart, today is a really great day to say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I need the new nature. I can't change on my own. I need you in my life. Okay. Second, we have this spin cycle of living in the flesh, but how do we avoid living in the flesh? Okay. This is not actually mentioned in our text because our text this week is the bad stuff. And when we return to John, then we get, or to Romans, we get the good stuff, okay? So how do we do it? Well, I'll give you a verse to think about. It says this. This is Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not live out the desires of the flesh. So the way to not live selfishly is to take up the cross of Christ always, to surrender always to him. You don't have time to go back to the flesh. You're too busy living for God now. This is what we're called to on a daily. Remember, take up your cross daily and follow after me. And what that means is, you know, this is your program from now on. Your program from now on is to walk in the love that I give you and reflect that love. And your program no longer is live for yourself. So you wake up and you say, today is not about me. But it's your birthday. It should be about you. No, today is still not about you. It is always about Christ. It is always about his love. It is always about his grace. And that way, we'll spend less time in the flesh because the flesh will never change. And the flesh will never change its nature. We don't want to go there. So we keep our eyes on Christ. Third, we need to go after those pockets of resistance. There are areas in our life, there are areas where we have walked in failure, and let me tell you, it just blows up our whole spiritual formation. Even though it's just this one area that, you know, we're not even thinking about, you know, we want to live for the Lord in the other areas, but it messes everything up when we won't give it to the Lord. And I like this. When you have a good football team, the announcers are into saying they were ruthless, right? Which means when they had the opportunity to score, they scored. They didn't think twice. We're going to win this game. We're not, you know, playing nice with these guys. We're here to win. Okay, this is the way we need to treat our sin. Be ruthless with it. You go, score. Beat them down. Beat them down 8-0. God is giving you permission. Don't give any, another verse for you, make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13:14, make no provision for the flesh. If you're David, cut off the head of your enemy. Don't let the guy come back to life and ruin your life again. Remove it. Remove the sin. You'll feel so much better. It will help you walk right. And then lastly, and this is actually where most people just spend most of the sermon, give yourself Jesus's grace. Okay, so, and what I mean that is that if we are told in advance we're going to struggle, and if we're told that in fact Paul has struggled, Paul, the premier Christian, okay? Paul, the one that they started calling themselves Christian around, okay? If Paul struggles, you're going to struggle and you're going to fail. Now, we don't want to excuse that. We want to say God understands that we're going to sin. Now, keep going. You give yourself grace. Don't beat yourself up. Don't say, oh, I can't come back from this. Oh, I'm just so horrible. There's something wrong with me. No, you did exactly what the Bible said you were going to do. So give yourself Jesus' grace and get over it and keep going. Four things to think about. Which one did God tug your heart on? Let's pray. I'm going to give you a moment to speak to the Lord about something that he has brought up during this lesson. And you can say whatever it is that you want. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, God. What an interesting section of Scripture, Lord, to be reminded that we will continue to struggle, but that we are called to the battle. So I pray that we would, as we continue to live life, and even when we fall down, that we would get up and say, I will continue for my part until the day that I die to rid myself as much as possible of the flesh by Christ's power. And now in the quietness of your heart, why don't you speak and say to the Lord whatever it is that you'd like to say, and we'll close.